Like most of us, Hugh C. Thompson has been following the prisoner abuse scandal at Abu Ghraib, the court's martial of the U.S. soldiers, and the wider investigations into what went wrong. But Hugh Thompson may have particular insight into what went right, the decision of Army Specialist Joseph Darby to report and thereby stop the abuse. In March of 1968, Mr. Thompson was a U.S. Army helicopter pilot flying over the Vietnamese village of My Lai, when he saw U.S. soldiers slaughtering unarmed Vietnamese civilians. Mr. Thompson landed. He told the soldiers to stop. And then he told his crewmates, Lawrence Colburn and Glenn Andriotta, that they should shoot any U.S. soldier who harmed a Vietnamese civilian. More than 500 people died in the My Lai massacre. Mr. Thompson and his crewmates testified against these soldiers whom the Pentagon found to have participated. UC Thompson joins us from the studios of KRVS in Lafayette, Louisiana. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Mr. Simon.
And I'm wondering if you can help us understand, what kind of courage does it take to refuse to go along with what everybody else around you, or at least a good number of people around you, are doing?
Well, in my case, in my crew's case, we weren't part of the unit. We were there to protect them, flying overhead from anywhere from 3 to 10 feet in the air. And what we saw just wasn't right. And we handled it the only way we could figure a way to handle it. Apparently, Specialist Darby saw something wrong that he didn't think was right, and he handled it, I guess, the only way he could.
Now, he's gotten favorable attention in the press, but I note there was a Vietnam veteran in Cumberland, Maryland, who called Mr. Darby a snitch and said if that had happened in Vietnam, quote, we would have made sure he didn't get home. Do you have some ideas to what it might be like, let's say, inside his unit right now?
A good soldier would not make that statement. Mm-hmm. A good soldier would not say he would frag another soldier. That sounds like that's another one of the hoodlums disguised in a green uniform, which really upsets me because I'm very proud of my Army.
What are your thoughts on Abu Ghraib as you see it from a distance?
Well, the pictures I've seen, these individuals didn't look the least bit worried, the least bit concerned about being caught. It looks like they were being instructed exactly what to do. And I'm just wondering who was in charge.
You speak to service academies now about doing the right thing. And what's your impression of the training they got and how aware they are of their responsibilities to not abuse prisoners, to not harm civilians?
Very, very aware. All but tattooed on their forehead, I think. Especially at the military academies are, but I talk at other military units and even in basic training because, you know, the Army realizes, and the military as a whole realizes, we don't need embarrassment. We don't need these black eyes. You know, war's not pretty. And a soldier is instructed to take out the enemy, take out the threat as quickly as possible. When there is no more threat, you don't kill no more. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, the laws have been changed since My Lai. Yeah. It used to be against the law to disobey an order. Now it's against the law to obey an unlawful order.
If you could have a conversation with Specialist Darby, what would you say to him?
About the same thing I told his mother. Don't give up. It will die down and people will forget about it. And you did the right thing. You have to do the right thing in life. But don't look for any rewards because they just might not be there.
At the time of the My Lai massacre, you and your crew reached down and picked up a boy who was then about 4 years old from a ditch that had been filled with the corpses of some of the people who had been killed.
Yes, sir.
What happened when you went back to My Lai a few years ago?
Well, it was actually Glenn Andrada that went down into the ditch. If there was a hero that day, it was definitely Glenn because I wouldn't want to go down that ditch. It wasn't pretty. I had always wondered if anybody that day that was on the receiving end of the pain and suffering and evil, if anybody knew not all Americans were mad, and if they knew that some of them, you know, at least that day were there trying to help, not hurt them. And I found out, yes, they knew about my helicopter crew. And that made me feel real good, and they thanked me. And then from out of nowhere, you know, we said, here's the young boy you pulled out of the ditch. And everybody in these just left him then, and it was very rewarding because I'd always wondered what happened to him. I didn't figure he had had a good life, and he hadn't, but we have a couple of programs, you know, to try to help him out because we caused a lot of pain for him. And he likes Larry and I a lot, and we like him too. We were wrong that day. We thought he was younger because, you know, the size. Because,
yeah.
You know, we had him laying on Larry in my lap when we were flying him to the hospital or the orphanage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought he was about the size of my kid, so, which he was, but my kid was 6, but he was actually about 9 years old that day. Mm-hmm. And he remembered everything.
Oh.
It just really makes you feel good. I can't think of words to describe it. Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
Hugh, it's been awfully good talking to you. Thanks very much.
Oh, well, I thank you, and I just asked all your listeners to please support our troops that are over there right now because they're not having an easy time.
Hugh C. Thompson speaking from Lafayette, Louisiana, where he now works at the Louisiana Department of Veterans Affairs. In 1998, Mr. Thompson and Lawrence Colburn received soldiers' medals from the U.S. Army for risking their lives outside of combat. Glenn Andreotta was killed in action in Vietnam and received his medal posthumously.